supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, Salamu Alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Tuesday, is the 18th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 12th of the month of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of March 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Yunus, verse 45.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِّنَ النَّهَارِ يَتَعَارَفُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ.
And on the day when he will gather them, it will be as if they had not remained in the world but an hour of the day, and they will know each other. Those will have lost who denied the meeting with Allah and were not guided.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The greatness of the Day of Judgment is such that one's entire life prior to it will seem as if it lasted only a short time. The Quran commands us to remember the Day of Judgment, when Allah will make them all rise from the dead and assemble them, and they will have a feeling that their entire lives in this world had not exceeded more than one single day, so much that they would get to see and to know one another. Today I'm going to speak about the reality of the world. One scholar remarks, "Your world and your hereafter are two inner states of your heart. That which is nearer and is concerned with the life before death is the world, and whatever that follows it and is concerned with the life after death is the hereafter. Therefore, everything that earns you pleasure and joy and provokes your lust before death, it is the world for you." The world may sometimes be regarded as mentioning the lowest level of existence and the abode of change, transition, and annihilation. What about hereafter? The hereafter signifies return from this lower mode of the existence to the higher, celestial plane, one's inner world, which is the abode of permanence, stability, and eternity.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. Instinctively, all people understand and appreciate the least level or the least amount of understanding what's good and what's not good, or what's good and what's evil. However, we find that those people who have been zealous to add it to their knowledge and to excel, they understand more. Suppose that, for example, everybody understands the meaning of heat, the meaning of cold, the meaning of, for example, height, the meaning of, for example, right, left, and other things. This is quite instinctive. Everybody, every man understands it. Yet, for example, a person who chooses to study, for example, physics, understands more about, for example, the meaning of heat. In the same way, we may say that all people may understand, I mean, the basics of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created quite inherently in them. Yet we find that some people follow this world, I mean, follow the carnal desires, follow the transitory wishes in this world, and some people are cognizant enough and aware of the fate and the destination in the world hereafter, I mean, in the afterlife. And because of this, they seldom give preference to the whims and to the desires, I mean, especially carnal desires in this world.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Again, we reach to a familiar part, the world and worldliness, the relation between man and the world. It is evident that man's relation to the world is similar to the one that exists between the merchant and the marketplace. It is not possible for man to alienate himself from the world or sever his ties with it or develop a kind of relationship which is wholly negative. Man has neither come to this world by cheating or fraud, nor should he go from here as an accused. There is a general force of attraction and gravitation that encompasses the whole universe. All the particles in it attract each other according to a set pattern. This pattern of mutual attraction and absorption is determined by a judicious design. Moreover, the force of attraction and love is not confined to a man alone. No particle in the universe is devoid of this power. The difference, however, is that man, contrary to other things, is aware of his own learnings and inclinations.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan.
This is today's special and this question, how to control our love for this dunya, combating too much love of dunya as adults. As adults, we still fall for the same traps we did as children. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, was asked whether the verse in the Quran, chapter 23, verse 60, and those who give whatever they have to give while their hearts are trembling, refer to people who committed sins, he replied, no, they are those who fast, pray, and give charity while fearing that these deeds may not be accepted by Allah. They are those who compete with one another in good deeds. The key is to understand that Allah does not deny or impulses. He encourages us to redirect them to something better. Remind yourself that everything you do in this dunya can be done for the love of Allah if you just have the right intentions. That is the first and last condition. And say, indeed, my prayer, my service of sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, Lord of the worlds. Chapter 6, verse 162.
وحملها الإنسان. But the human being, did he do justice? He did not do justice. The human being did not do justice. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. He oppressed the status that Allah gave him. Why? Because he allowed his heart and mind to be severely attached to this materialistic world. And therefore, he allowed himself to be lower. It's because Allah gave you the intellect, the expectation from you is greater. But that is the difficulty that we all experience, the issue of attachment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in this physical world. Allah says, I've given you the tools, get out of this state. Break this attachment, can you? Then you're an honorable human being who deserves that eternal reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not easy. And then once the child keeps growing up, we become teenagers. Now we find objects in our life in order to express ourselves. And we develop an identity around these objects. For a lot of teenagers, or people in their young 20s, especially the brothers, when you buy that first car, how do you feel about that car? That car becomes an extension of your own identity, right? That's why you personalize it, you customize it. Why do people customize the cars? That's why some people, when they lose these objects, it's as if their life has been taken away from them.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark, I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. For your information, once when the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was asked about the best and the worst creations of God, he answered, wording is the best and the worst thing that God created. By means of wording, some faces become white, and by means of wording, some faces become black.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the Hadith of Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, in which he has narrated it to his companion or one of his close companions, Hisham ibn Hakam, we have reached the 21st section of this tradition. As most of you may have seen if you have been following the episodes of this tradition, the importance of the intellect. That is a faculty that we as human beings have been given, and we will surely be judged by it. If we have corrupted it ourselves, we will be judged on that. If we have not used it, we will be judged on that, and so on and so forth. In this section of the tradition, the Imam alayhi salam is speaking about knowledge, understanding, and again action. That an action that is based on knowledge, on understanding, even though it is small, is far greater than an action that is just done for the sake of it. It's just done because so and so has said I should do it. No, there must be intellectual thought and understanding of why one is doing it, pondering upon it. And these actions and this servitude and obedience must lead one to ponder upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or vice versa, the weakness of us. Where do we stand in this system of creation and so on and so forth? So the Imam says that, O Hisham, a few good deeds from one with knowledge and one who uses his intellect is accepted. So basically a person performs a little, but that little that he does is performed you know, with understanding of why he is doing it. That he's doing it in order to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just as a parrot, and not just as dhikr, not just as a movement of, you know, his mouth. Even worse, not because of riyah, not because of showing off. And then the Imam continues and says that this action, even though small, is accepted and even at times will be multiplied. And then Imam continues, well, many good deeds from those who are ignorant and slaves to their desires are rejected. So here again we can see that on the flip side, if a person does so much, but he just does it because he thinks that, you know, people look at me and call me so and so and call me Abid and call me Alim and all these titles that I get, you know. Why are you doing it then? For example, we see certain individuals on certain nights, for example, the holy nights of Qadr. They just want to do the amal. They just want to do the du'as and the supplications. Yet they do not ponder and contemplate on the words of those supplications. It's important to complicate. It is important to contemplate and to ponder upon those words of the beautiful supplications of the Imma alayhim salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do so, insha'Allah. Therefore, we see that is the quality of the action that is important and not the quantity. Insha'Allah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the beloved memory of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, and it's about his life and times. To join me on this discussion on this program is Dr. Mahdi Turabi, an academic and Islamic scholar. I'd like to welcome him to the program and say salam to him.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Right. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. Sir, I think in another program we mentioned the fact that there should be walls built around Iran.
No.
In a sense that we simply rely on God for everything. That is the pinnacle of faith, really, which is something that we need to explore deeper, yes, on a deeper issue, because, of course, the Imam himself, self-reliant, independent, and a man of God, because he was called Ru'Allah. You know, I remember a book that came out, just a year after the revolution, and it just said Spirit of Allah. And the only thing I could think of, because of my Christian heritage, if you like, was that, it's Jesus.
Which is in Islam.
Which is not far from the truth.
In Islam, one of the names of Prophet Isa is
exactly
Ruhullah.
The title of the Prophet Jesus, son of Mary. Peace be upon him. So, I'll let you take it from there.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We were discussing these two schools,
yes,
which are mutually exclusive.
That's right, the mutually exclusive. This is us back to sets again. Math. Right. Yes, exactly. That's right.
There are two sets. There's no intersection.
No intersection in there. No union of any kind.
Right.
And they're it's entirely separate.
This mutually, or that.
This or that. Yes.
It's mutually exclusive.
It's A or B.
And one of the schools is the one that you want to be in.
Sure.
Is the school that relies and trusts in the power of God.
Sure.
And the other school, which you don't want to be in, is the school that trusts and relies on the power of other than God.
Sure.
And of course, ultimately we realize there is no power but God's power.
Sure.
But it's this illusion of power that this other side has, whether it's Shaitan, Tawgut, the Shaitan and the Tawguts of your time, you know, the Godfather, the hegemon, whatever word is used and technical term is used and whatever way you want to rationalize it,
sure,
that force, whether it's individual or country or thing, that claims to have power and goes against the path of God.
Sure.
And we said that our problem in the Muslim world is that a lot of Muslims don't really trust in the power of God.
No.
Or rely on God.
Sure.
They pray and they fast and they do all the things that are, you know, on the surface of it are Islamic. And again, I'm including myself in this. Don't
sure.
think I'm talking about other people.
Sure.
But deep down inside in their heart, they're like, well, it's good if we have a little chat with the Godfather.
Mm.
Just to make sure.
Yes.
He can, you know, protect us.
Yes. Or do something for
right.
us.
And this is in the context of the political and the strategic and the international relations that we see in the Muslim world in the last 150 years, where you have basically people who are good people in their personal life,
sure,
but who insist on trying to live peacefully and happily, you know, by relying on the power and the beneficence of Britain, America, France,
yes,
whoever it is that is the...
You're playing ball at the moment.
The current, you current know, Godfather.
Godfather, yes.
Instead of
God. God himself.
Right. This brings us to Imam Khomeini.
Of course. No doubt.
Right.
Which is what the program is all about.
Right. And guess which camp he's in?
He's in one with the God. He's right. in with God, and in a pretty deep way, I right. think, yes.
And not only is he just there as a... He's like... He's the standard bearer.
He's the standard bearer.
Okay? I mean, everything from the beginning of the revolutionary movement in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s, until the revolution itself, the events of the revolution, the threats, the problems that were happening during the revolution, overthrowing, you know, 2,500 years of absolute monarchy.
Okay, yeah.
You know, America's support, you know, Soviet interventions, whatever.
Sure.
So, that whole, all those episodes. Then the war itself, you know, all the problems of having the 8-year war, and like you said, you know, the superpowers at the time being united.
United, yes.
Against Iran, you know, the only country helping us being Syria.
Mm.
I keep repeating this because...
Of course.
People should know why we're supporting Syria.
Supporting Syria, yes.
Yes, the only government that helped us.
Yes.
During the war.
That's right.
So we're not going to abandon them.
No.
And that's what friends do, by the way. Not what America does. It abandons its friends.
It does.
Right. We don't abandon our friends.
No.
Right. So, we get to this amazing sentence from Imam, which I'm going to now
Please tell us.
And he uttered it and spoke this amazing sentence at the first meeting of the Revolutionary Guards Corps with him.
Right.
And who is the Revolutionary Guards Corps? It's basically the army of the revolution. It's the military force that was established during and after the revolution to guard the revolution.
Sure.
Okay? So it's their first meeting, and the film is famous. If you've been in Iran and you've watched TV in Iran, it's famous. He's standing he's basically, they've come to where he's staying.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't recall now whether it was his house or whether it was the Alavi school. I can't recall now. I think it might have been Alavi school.
Sure.
In Tehran, and basically he's standing in the window frame, like the window that's out into the street, and they're all outside in the yard.
Right.
And he's speaking to them. It's a very kind of informal get together. And this is the time when, you know, the sanctions are starting.
Mm.
the Americans are sanctioning, the West is sanctioning, everything's sanctioned.
Sure.
It's all sanctions. It's all, well, we're cutting relations.
Of course.
We're isolating you.
Yes.
You know, we're going to put pressure on you. We're going to, you know, threaten you with poverty and
as
and misery.
As Satan does.
As Satan does.
Does.
Right?
Yes.
So what does Imam say? And I'm translating. This is my translation. I apologize. Because, you know, he says, if the doors of all the nations of the world are closed to us, the doors of divine mercy will be open to us. And people say, oh, this is crazy, and, you know, people can't handle this, and, you know, maybe he was very hardcore, but what about us? We're not like that. We need, you know, this, we need that. And this is the whole point, isn't it?
Ah.
I mean, who's more hardcore than the Prophet, peace be upon him?
Yes.
Who's more hardcore than Imam Ali alayhi salam? So, obviously, they're teaching us things that, you know, we can't do it in the same level as they can, but we have to do it.
We have to do it.
To the level that we're capable.
Yes.
We can't, you know, say that that reality, deny that reality, which is behind what they're saying to us, which is rely on God, and say, well, I don't have the capacity. Well, okay. Doesn't mean that reality isn't reality.
Yes, absolutely.
Doesn't mean if you act on that, you're not going to get the good results. What it says is, well, you know, raise your capacity. Mm. Work on yourself. This is actually what ends up happening, is saying to the Iranian people, and this has been the result of after 35 years now. 35 years ago, who would have thought that we would be capable of doing all these things? That even if, you know, our benefactor and our, you know, overlord, which was the Americans for 50 years, and then before that the British, if they leave us, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Well, it didn't. And it actually benefited us. We learned to build things. We learned to manage ourselves. We learned, you know, we came out of that slave mentality.
Sure.
And isn't this divine mercy? Isn't this when Imam says the doors of divine mercy are going to open up? Well, isn't this one of the greatest?
This is the thing, isn't it? Because he's basically also giving the message that if we are self-reliant.
Exactly.
And our self-reliance is based on the divine in terms of our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll get a result.
Exactly. And that result is a worldly result.
It's a worldly result.
You will be suffering and, you know, eating, barley.
Barley, yeah. Raw barley or
raw
something.
Raw barley. And then in the next world, you'll have your, you know,
your sustenance. 70,
your 72 whatever and all that.
Yeah.
It's about, we can see it today. Mm. We were a nation that didn't even produce its own, you know, foodstuffs. It's
that's
basic
right.
Own food. Now we do.
Yes.
And of course, yes. And it doesn't mean that we're cutting off completely from everyone and there's no relations and there's no economic trade. Of course we still have it. But it's a completely different game when you are self-sufficient.
Exactly.
And you're entering this game with power and with your own capabilities as opposed to being, you know, this weak. You know, there's a concept in economics called bargaining power.
Bargaining power, yes.
Okay, because this is one of the major flaws of the capitalist theoreticians.
Yes.
Is they say, oh, the free market, and the market balances itself, and the different economic actors in a market will bargain amongst themselves.
Sure.
And come to some efficient conclusion. Mm. Well, the problem with that is that the different actors in a market have different bargaining powers.
Sure.
If I'm a worker at some factory, you know, how am I supposed to bargain with some large multi-billion dollar corporation? We can't bargain as equals. We can't even bargain as you know, we're well, it's not even called bargaining.
Yes, no.
It's called, you know, enforcing the will of whatever the corporation wants on you as their weight slave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
So, the same concept that I just described exists for nations in the world.
Yes.
We were a nation that all our job was to produce cheap oil for the others, get a pittance for it, and then whatever pittance we got for it, spend it again
on arms.
Give it again to the same guys to get arms and their, you know, third-rate products that they can't sell in their own market.
Market.
That's the way it was.
Yes.
That's what it meant to have relations with the West for us.
And they wanted it
And
that
more
way.
Than that, it meant allowing Western culture to come and destroy the society from its roots.
Of course, of course.
Destroy the
that
families.
That was the other aspect of
destroy
it.
Destroy the families, destroy the, sure. the beliefs, destroy all that is good about a nation that has, you know...
An Islamic culture.
5,000 years of civilization and history.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
So, Imam, at a time... And remember, I mean, I think people who weren't there at that time, they don't realize how sensitive the times were. Mm. We just made the revolution. You know, there's internal conflicts brewing. You know, you've got the different groups, terrorist groups being supported by different regimes and countries to cause problems within Iran. A lot of people are scared. Those who are still the old school, you know, relying on the beneficence and you know mercy of America for us to have a good life. They're scared. They're freaking out. Oh my God, why are you saying these things? Why are you doing these things? Mm. Everything's going to collapse. Mm. You know, and of course a lot of them left.
Of course they did.
And they're good Americans now.
Yes.
Their kids are good American citizens now.
Very
right?
Good. So I mean, in other words, you know, there is this stark...
At that time, in a situation like that, Imam says a sentence like this. He says, if all the doors of all nations
are closed to us,
of the world are closed to us, the doors of divine mercy will be open to us.
Will be open to us.
He also, although I didn't read it myself, but one of the friends were saying that, he said that, you know, if it was up to me, I would just wall in Iran for a couple of years.
And I think you more or less got that with the sanctions.
Right. And what's his point? His point is learn to be reliant on yourself and on God.
On God.
Yes. Don't rely on Tawgut.
This is entirely...
Don't rely on Shaitan.
No,
Don't
this
be
is
scared
entirely
of Shaitan's
teaching.
Threats.
Yes.
Shaitan, you know, when he says that famous sentence in Farsi, which, you know, can't do a damn thing.
Can't do a
America
damn
thing. America can't do a damn thing.
Yes.
It has to do with your heart. Mm. It has to do with the idea of who is it that... Are you a weak person or are you a strong person? Do you have izzat or are you zalil?
Zalil, yes.
If you follow Imam Hussein and claim to follow Imam Hussein,
yes.
You can't be zalil. Mm. Against nobody. How dare you be zalil? Right? So, we're saying all this in the context that we still have people in the Muslim world whose hopes are pinned to America, to Britain, to France, if not that, to Russia, to China, to Brazil, to India. Why are you pinning your hopes on these guys? Right?
Sure.
I remember another sentence he said during the war. He says, if you who have God, he was talking about the Iranian people, and he was talking about the war, he said, you Iranian people who have God, what are you scared of?
And people say, "Oh, that's so simplistic," and it's not simplistic.
I mean, it's
cause and effect.
It's cause and effect.
It's reality.
Let's explain this reality in one hadith, please, because you just reminded me about Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says that if you have gained Allah, what have you lost? And if you have lost Allah, what have you gained?
Exactly.
And this is. This is the teaching that we're trying to instill in ourselves. I mean, you're right. I mean, we're talking to each
ourselves
here.
Of course.
Because what are we as individuals, as men? Do we really have faith or not?
Exactly.
And if we are really Muslim, we really believe in Imam Hussain, we believe in Imam Ali. What do they say? What's that saying I used to hear in Muharram? Live like Ali and die like Hussein? I mean, it's a tall order, isn't it? If you're full of nifaq, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? That if you are going to live up to what the Ahlul Bayt are teaching us, and that in itself, as you say, is both success in this world. Although success may not be in terms of all material possessions, because there is a reward that is to be given in the hereafter. Allah doesn't give everything all at once. I mean. This is the thing, this is another thing that our listeners have to be aware of, that in the Quranic teaching, in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, the people who get the most in this world are those who are cut off from Allah. If you are with Allah, you should be assured of the fact that your success of guarantee, you will get here in this world, of course you will. But Allah will keep some of it for the hereafter. Most of it for the hereafter. You'll get about 20% here, about 80%.
It's something we can't even conceive.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
It's something that you have to understand the context in which you're doing things.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. And that's what we're trying to explain here, that in terms of what Imam Khomeini was teaching, because he's trying to teach us these teachings that we have forgotten, or perhaps we don't understand as the way we should.
You know, it's where the rubber meets the road.
Ah, thank you.
Okay.
I like that.
So
because
we go on.
Rubber hit the road for a while.
Right. Yeah. It's basically where, okay, all this claim of being religious.
Ah, thank you.
And, you know, doing all the things.
Yes.
And the prayer and
mm-hmm.
the fasting mm-hmm. and the, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
You know, that's where you are really tested, is when mm-hmm. you stand up to the Taghut, and which in our time was America.
Exactly.
Supporting a person, you know, a dictator like the Shah.
Yes.
And then that, you know, big superpower threatening us.
Exactly.
Are you gonna rely on God?
Ah, yes,
are you gonna rely on God? When you're looking at this superpower and they're like saying, you know what, we're gonna bomb you.
Well, it was that.
All right, all options are on the table.
Table. Though not only options, but right after, you know, just a few months after the success of the revolution, there was talk of atom bombs being dropped on Tehran, wasn't there?
And, you know,
coup d'état and all that.
You know,
yeah.
supporting the
sure.
different,
and,
you know, secessionist
just
movements. What does it mean to be Muslim? It's you rely on God.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is calm in the wildest storm. You know,
sure.
You have you know, the Iraqis attacking Saddam and his, you know, animals attacking, everybody giving them all the weapons they need and the intelligence and satellite photos.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely, Rumsfeld visiting
right
and Saddam
shaking.
With the chemical weapons in return. Right. Now we know it directly came from the United States, wasn't it? It wasn't even the German connection. For goodness' sake,
of course.
I mean, may Hitler rest in peace. You know, we don't
right.
even want to go there. You know,
right.
but you know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that America's mm. atomic and chemical weapons were from the Germans and the Japanese.
Yes.
They basically, the guys who were doing the programs during World War II
were
then, you know, mm. brought first class to the U.S. to continue the program.
To continue those yes. programs, yes. Because, you know, the V-2 improved and
right.
sent man
and
to the
chemicals
moon.
Was the Japanese.
Japanese,
guys,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the point is that...
yeah. Absolutely.
So in the end, it was the Germans.
It was the Germans. At the end. So there we are. Sorry.
Okay. It wasn't even the Americans. They
right.
they didn't have the skills.
Well, Hitler burned in hell. There you go.
So
right.
the point is that, you know, at that time, you have the superpower, and still today, and throughout time, and you know, all times, you have the Taghut, you have the Shayateen threatening you.
Exactly.
And the question is, who do you rely on?
Who do you rely on?
If you say you're Muslim, you got to rely on God.
God, of course.
This is where your test happens. And remember, what does Ahle Kufa do with Imam Hussein?
Exactly.
Precisely the point. They wrote him letters according to the Rivayat, mm-hmm. 19,000 letters mm. they wrote to him,
mm.
you know, inviting him. And when Muslim comes, with two or three threats by
Ibn Ziyad,
Lanatullah Alayh,
everything's
disappears. And one, you know, public beating and one or two executions,
everything disappears.
They all dissipate. They all,
yes.
and not only do they dissipate mm. and go back, crawl back into the hole where they came from. They go and become the army that kills Imam Hussein.
Yes, because they had the gold of Ibn Ziyad, didn't they?
Because Ibn Ziyad threatened them.
Yes, but he also bribed them. He also gave them gold.
Well, bribe, threatening,
yeah.
saying, "Hey, you know, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, take care of you."
You know, if you don't come with us, you will be Zalil.
Yes.
We will kill your men.
Women.
We will
sell off your women.
And
take your property.
And if you come with me, here's the cash.
Here's the cash. Sounds pretty like Saudi, doesn't it?
Exactly. They're all
the same. They're all the same.
They're all Ibn Ziyad.
This is why my dream
is... You understand what
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
They're
I just want to go
Ziyad,
south.
Right?
You know, I just want to go south.
You understand what Ibn Ziyad means?
Yes, right? I've forgotten. No,
Ibn
I forgot.
Ibn Ziyad? He didn't know who his dad was. So
yes, that's right. I'm sorry.
Right?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
So, this is what they do.
Sure.
And throughout time, the lesson is, you know, we're not Ahle Kufa.
No. Thank God.
This is what we say, right?
Yes, that's right. Because
we're not Ahle Kufa.
We are not Ahle Kufa. When the volunteers, the besieged also, you know, went to the warfront, they said that we are not Ahle Kufa. Exactly.
We won't abandon.
No, we won't abandon.
We don't abandon
Imam.
Islam. We don't abandon truth. We don't abandon our prophet. We don't abandon our imams.
Imam, yeah.
We don't abandon justice. Okay? This is what a great man like Imam taught us.
Exactly.
Even if we couldn't get it at that time, either we were too young or we didn't have the understanding or there were so many
influences. But he was such a wonderful example.
He comes in very, you know...
I mean, the most...
With that beautiful way of speaking and this very
soft-spoken.
Simple, very simple,
soft-spoken.
But total clarity.
Total clarity.
You know, pure light.
The other thing is that, you know, you say that, but what amazed me at the time when we were seeing all this in front of our eyes was the fact that, you know, all these, you know, big anchor men of the media, you know, these journalists and, you know, academics and God knows what, they're all in front of, and they're like kids. They're like 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. They're fumbling about. They don't know what to do. And each and every one of them comes back and says, that man is God. You know, what is this? You know, it's like, we're, he's a representation of God on earth. You know, what can we say? You know, he's like something out of the prophets.
Look, whatever they said, the point is, it was undeniable.
It was undeniable, that's the thing.
And of course, his enemies talked about this. It's not even that, you know, the people who liked him.
As we said about Henri Kissinger, you know, he said he's doing things that we can't understand.
Okay.
He talks about jihad and he talks about heaven and martyrdom and God. And what's that got to do with global policy and, you know, foreign relations? And
this is the point. Rely on God.
Exactly.
Trust in God's power if you are connected to God. And believe me, even if you're a sinner.
Even if you're a sinner. That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
This is even if you're a sinner.
Yes, of course we are.
Because Allah's mercy is, you know, has no limit.
Yeah, it's open to all.
So if you sincerely and, you know, with a feeling of, and with this idea that, and this attitude that you go to God and you say, listen, I know I'm a sinner.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Okay. Confess your all.
You know, I'm not, I have nothing, you know, to show for.
Show for it.
Yeah. All I need is your mercy. And your support.
Sure.
You think Allah is not going to support you? You think Allah is not going to support you? Of course He's going to support you.
Of course He promised He would.
Okay? So what I'm trying to say here is that this is feasible. This is reality. It's not some pie in the sky.
No, it's not.
Okay? Again, I repeat, they keep saying, oh, well, he was a very strong person. Why would he? Well, we don't have the capacity. Well, raise your capacity.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the whole point of life, is to raise your capacity.
You remind me now of this Egyptian correspondent. What's his name? He was...
Hassanein, Haikal.
Haikal, thank you.
Yeah, no, he's more than a journalist. He's like an intellectual.
Intellectual. Right. And he said, I asked the question to the Imam. You know, he's sitting in this small room. There's only one part of the wall is wallpapered. That's the part they asked the Imam, just please sit there so we can take a nice picture of you on the camera. I'm sure that's the only reason why they put him on that particular position. All these guys, and as you say, this big intellectual is sitting there, and he says, I asked the Imam about... You know, the running of the affairs of state, the economy, and all that sort of thing. And the Imam comes back and says, read Imam Ali. Read Nahj al-Balagha. And he said, I came back with 3 khutbas of Imam Ali. And only Ali was swimming around in my head and nothing else.
Exactly.
So there we go.
Exactly. You have the famous instructions to Malik Ashtar. We've mentioned this many times in different programs.
Sure.
And this is the point.
Yeah.
The point is that Islam, what is the central message of Islam? Is rely on God.
God, exactly.
Trust in God. Okay? Now, they have that on the dollar, in God we trust.
Yes, yes.
But they don't.
They don't.
Okay.
No, and trust is the opposite.
Right.
It's Satan.
They're pharaohs.
Yes. They can't say that, we trust Satan.
Right.
They can't say that. It doesn't sound good on the back
actually,
of a green
Satan
bag.
Will always come with through the door
but
of
it
God.
It doesn't look right, you know. I trust Iblis on the back of the greenback. I can't see that happening. You know, God, I mean, God's good.
Right. No, who's going to deny that?
Who's going to deny that? You see, this is the problem. But you're right. You're right.
It has to do with really doing it, not just mouthing the words.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know.
Sure.
Trying to, you know, outmaneuver the stock market in order to, you know, make a living.
Exactly.
You have to trust God, even in difficult times.
Of
I mean, the point is in difficult times.
In difficult times, that's the point. In hardship.
When you've overthrown, you know, the peacock throne and...
Yes, exactly.
and the whole world is going against you. And they're like, hey, we're going to bomb you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You're like, hey, you know, America hech galati na mikro.
In God we trust.
No, and he says, America can't do a damn thing.
Yeah, can't do a damn thing. Exactly.
So this is the lesson from Imam. As the other things we discussed about this great man, every aspect of what we saw in him, and we saw him.
Sure.
This is not something that
we saw him.
You know, alhamdulillah, this was one of the great blessings in our life. Allah allowed us to see him. It was all lessons. And they've stayed with us, and inshallah they will stay with us for the rest of our lives, and we have to pass them on.
Sure.
We don't have an excuse on the Day of Judgment.
Exactly. Thank you. On that note, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, I thank you very much for that enlightening discussion. I hope our listeners benefited from it. Of course, the Imam is a lesson for all times for until the Day of Judgment, and we must take stock of his wisdom. But I thank our listeners and just have to say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Ocean of Dua.
Thumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Our dear listeners, as you have been previously with us, we started talking about this stand in our text of Ziyarat, which is a kind of stand and mawqif in its political aspect, and it requires clarity and unambiguity, and it requires firmness and preparation for the sacrifice. We also said that the events of Siffin and Karbala are so decisive battles in history of Islam that can be called the days of separation in Islamic history, the Ayyamul Furqan. So the battle between the two sides, the wrong side and the right side, extends up to this day, and this is the true nature of history. Some events are not just for the past.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
That's why we can see in the texts of Ziyarat reported from the Ahlul Bayt the notion of inheritance of stands, and this fact can be seen in different ways. One form that we talked about in the previous program was friendship and dissociation. We mentioned some parts of the Ziyaratul Ashura and some parts of Ziyaratul Jamia al-Kabira. In the lesser known Ziyarat of Ashura, we come across some phrases. Oh Allah,